to our Heavenly Father in prayer. I want to make sure that we make special note of today being Father's Day. So what I'd like to do is have all the fathers to stand for a moment while we give them a hand. So fathers, please rise. As a matter of fact, our prayer this morning will be dedicated to the Heavenly Father for these fathers and all fathers. Let's go, our Heavenly Father, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those fathers who have striven to balance the demands of work, marriage, and children with an honest awareness of both joy and sacrifice. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those fathers who, lacking a good model for a father, have worked to become a good father. Thank you for those fathers who, by their own account, were not always there for their children, but who continue to offer those children, now grown, their love and support. Heavenly Father, let us pray for those fathers who have been wounded by the neglect and hostility of their children. Thank you for those fathers who, despite divorce, have remained in their children's lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those fathers whose children are adopted and whose love and support has offered healing. Thank you for those fathers who, as stepfathers, freely choose the obligation of fatherhood and earn their stepchildren's love and respect. Thank you for those fathers who have lost a child to death and continue to hold the child in their heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for those men who have no children but cherish the next generation as if it were their own. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those men who have fathered many in the role as mentors and guides. Thank you for those men who are about to become fathers. May they openly delight in their children. And Heavenly Father, thank you for those fathers who have died, but live in our memory and whose love continues to nurture us. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the model of fatherly love you have provided for all of us. Heavenly Father, for all of this, we thank you in the name of your dear Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior. Amen. What I'd like to do before we begin our sermon is to draw your attention to our bulletin. And on the back of the bulletin, you'll find a lesson from Dr. Joe Barnett. We publish this on the back of the bulletin every week. And I want to encourage you, it's one of the encouragers for me every morning, to get up. When I get up in the morning, I can read a message from Dr. Joe Barnett. And I would encourage you to also subscribe online to get the message from him, because with his pathways evangelism, it keeps us informed and in touch with the church. Understanding that Dr. Barnett is probably one of our most prolific writers within the entire brotherhood. And any opportunity we have to hear from him will be certainly a treat. And even more astounding for me, he's one of my personal heroes, and he's sitting here. So, you know, if I stumble through this lesson, it's because Joe's sitting here. But let me touch on another thing, is that Alan and Mikey are up in North Woodland, at the old Buckshot Church of Christ. Even when he takes a day off, he still preaches. So he's up there preaching now, and Mikey's with him. So let's wish them a safe return and that they had a wonderful experience today. Through several careers, last week I told you that I would speak on a subject that's a maximum that I believe to be valid and true. And what I want to do is give you a little background before I deliver the message. A little background is, through several careers that I've experienced and been blessed enough to go through, this maximum is a truism. And it says, the way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. And that will be the subject of our lesson. The way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. I found that to be true in a career with the United States Marine Corps. True with 20-year career with the Los Angeles Police Department. True again as a classroom teacher at every level from elementary through college. As an ethicist. True again as an arbitrator and currently as a therapist and a minister. The way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. I found that most people are motivated by the way they perceive life and their place in it. We want to talk about that this morning. Another truism I've observed is that our focus usually determines what we see. Our focus usually determines what we see. To change our perception, it's imperative that one changes his or her focus. So we're going to talk about focus and the way you see a thing. There are many examples in the Bible of the perceptions of people leading to various outcomes. One of the most tragic accounts in the Bible is that of the lost generation, found in Numbers 13 and 14. An entire generation that failed to enter the promised land because of the way they saw a thing. There was an incorrect focus. A little background on Numbers 13 and 14. After their long bondage in Egypt, God delivered Israel to the promised land. He brought them through the Red Sea, led them through Mount Sinai, gave them the law, and fed them with food from heaven. He graciously attended to their needs and led them to the promised land, the one he promised them. To assure them of the promised land of rest, God told Moses to send out 12 spies to inspect the land and give a report. Now, they were to do several things in their instructions from Moses. One, they were to see the inhabitants, determine whether they were strong or weak. They were to check the cities to see if they were walled or tents. They were to examine the soil to see if it was fertile and productive or not. Now the spies returned back to Moses with two reports. The way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. We find the first report given by the 10 of the spies, and in that first report, I would submit to you that it is all a matter of focus. In our natural self, we often see obstacles before we see opportunities. In the natural, we see obstacles before we see opportunities. When we see with the eyes of God, and God had given them that in his word and promise, we see opportunities before we see obstacles. It's just a matter of faith. And our life lesson today will be on the matter of faith and seeing with the eyes of God, as opposed to lending to our own understanding. The picture is always brighter if we see with the eyes of God and include him in that sight and what he can do and what he will do. Both groups of spies saw the same things. The majority group failed to see the most important element, though. They failed to see God himself in the instructions and promise he'd given them. To see through the eyes of God is to see humanity as Christ sees humanity. And the way that Christ sees humanity is with unconditional love. For us is to see humanity with unconditional love if we're to see with the eyes of God. But it takes more than knowledge of Jesus' life and teachings to see with the eyes of God. It requires the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who speaks of the truths of God and reveals all truths to those who live in the Spirit. One of the things we want to be sure that we understand is while one person may see a worthless drug addict on a street corner, Jesus sees a once promising, intelligent young person who fell on hard times and made bad decisions. A person who perhaps has lost everything and now has no one and no reason to continue to have faith in life. Some may see a group of protesters and think they're a bunch of uncontrollable criminals who should be incarcerated. But Jesus sees people who are frustrated because their voices are being ignored and their lives dismissed. He knows that they want to be recognized, treated with respect, and included in the collective community. When we see the world, we look through our own selfish eyes and judge the world according to how it will affect us personally. When Jesus sees the world, his eyes transcend time and space, goes beyond time and space. He looks with the eyes straight through to the souls. One of the things I wanted to share with you is what does God see when he looks at us? When God, it's a bit of introspective for us. When God looks at us as individuals, what does he really see? He sees how different people have helped us along the way and how different people have hurt us along the way. He sees our disappointments, our fear, our failures, and how all these things have changed us in good and in bad ways. He also sees our desire to be something greater than ourselves. He sees that longing within us, a desire to be greater than ourselves. At the same time, he sees how we can be our own worst enemy by being so critical of ourselves. He also sees that we're doing the best we can, most of us, though he knows we can do better. He sees our wishes for love and success, but sees that many of our dreams may never come true. He also sees that we're searching for answers, constantly searching for answers, but don't know where to look. Jesus himself is the answer, seeing with the eyes of faith and seeing Christ. But our blindness sometimes over our emotional involvement in issues prevents us from seeing Christ. We become so enamored with the idea of trying to resolve issues on our own that we overlook the most important element to solving a problem is going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Even followers of Christ, that's you and me, may not be able to see with the eyes of God because we sometimes get in our own way. We sometimes think we have the answer when in fact God made the answer, so he has the answer. So why not go to the fountain head? Why not go to the source rather than trying to resolve issues we cannot resolve beyond us? Our problems, our selfishness, our earthly vanities, our anxieties, our prejudices, our lack of trust are all like closed curtain on a window. It prevents us from seeing outside. They prevent us from seeing what the Holy Spirit would have us see. But the truth is, perhaps we really don't want to see all God wants us to see because we're afraid sometimes to really see the truth. Sometimes truth is ugly. Sometimes truth is something distasteful. But unless you face truth and face it with the eyes of God, you can never resolve and get to truth. We really know that if we could see the truths of God, then we would have to act on those truths. See, when we go to our Lord in prayer and he gives us an answer, many times we reject the answer because we don't want to do that and ask and look for an alternative. And many of us are actually not quite ready for that yet. In order to see with the eyes of God, we first must see God. We first must see God. And again, lean not to our own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And when we understand how God sees us, we can look at our neighbor and fully understand what God sees in each and every one of us. What God sees in each and every one of us is a precious soul. In you, your neighbor, the person out on the street, God sees a precious soul worth saving. For God sees not as man sees. For God looks at the outward, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Our focus determines what we see. If we're focused on Christ as our example and God as our mentor, if we never allow our focus to change from fear, pessimism, and selfish desires, we will never see God through the eyes of Jesus Christ. When we focus on Galatians 5:13-15, a couple of things, let me share this with you. We're told, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love. Galatians 5:14 says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. The entire law, the scripture, is completed in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why would God include a message like that? See, we understand that you naturally love yourself. So if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, love conquers all. If as a Christian we allow God's Spirit to direct our lives, we will not allow physical desires to determine how we live. If our focus is on the Lord, we will produce the fruit of God's Spirit. The fruit of God's Spirit is enumerated in Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all the fruit of God's Spirit. These are the qualities of life produced by the person whose focus is on Jesus Christ. These are the fruit. This is the fruit. And these are the qualities when our focus is on Jesus Christ and not our own selfish desires. The challenge here is to let God's Spirit determine how we will live each day of our life. Let God's Spirit determine how we will live each day of our lives. Move our own selfish desires, selfishness out of the way, and be led and keep your focus on the Lord and be led by the Word of God. Always placing our trust in God and the faith in knowing that He always wants what's best for you. And living with that unabiding faith that He always wants what's best for you, even if it's something you don't want. And having the wisdom to understand that God knows best. It is all a matter of focus. Your focus will determine what you see. The way you see a thing is the way you see a thing. If your focus is on Christ, you will see that thing as Christ sees it. Whatever the situation is, whatever the obstacle, if you focus on it and see it as Christ would see it, you will from there be guided to a correct conclusion. If you, as a Christian, live by God's Spirit, you will use God's law to produce a spiritual life. By letting it show how you produce the fruit of the Spirit, and the way you see a situation will be the way God sees that same situation. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The takeaway for today is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Fix our eyes on Jesus. How do we do that? By immersing ourselves in the Word of God, by studying relentlessly, by understanding that you can never get too much love, knowledge, and direction from the Word of God. That's one of the things that I'm so happy Joe is here today, because that morning meditation that I get from him every morning on my computer helps me to direct my day. And I would encourage you to utilize that valuable, valuable resource for members of the church and for anyone. The idea is once you see that, it allows you to move forward in your day and the things, the obstacles you would encounter and the blessings you will encounter and how to receive both the blessings and the obstacles by seeing it through the eyes of Christ. One of the things we want to do today is say that we make a pledge to ourselves, no one else, a pledge to ourselves, that I will remove me from the equation when I'm looking at obstacles or opportunities. Because when I rely on me, I will probably see obstacles where there are opportunities, just as the 10 of the 12 spies did. They saw obstacles where Caleb and Joshua saw opportunities. Joshua and Caleb followed the word of God and believed him when he said, "This land is your land." And because the majority of the people decided to go with the 10, they wandered for 40 years without being able to take the land God had already given them. Because they saw not with the eyes of God, they saw with their own personal fears and anxieties. So let's not have that happen to us. Let's not see with our own fears. Let's see with God's eyes. Let's see through the Spirit of God the things we need to do to become whole and healthy individuals. One writer wrote, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refused to leave you that way." Max Lucado wrote that. God loves you just the way you are, but he refused to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. One of the things we want to do is to make sure that we try to be just like Jesus. Whatever your spiritual need is today, whether that need is to be added to the church, request for a prayer, or a word of encouragement, please come forward as we stand now to sing our song of encouragement.